As we move about from day to day, we must realize that we have one who sits high next to the throne of God, making intercessions for each and every one of us. Amen. I read about him in John, the 14th chapter, another one of those excellent passages I just love to read and recite. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God." Jesus says, "Believe also in me." He says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, that where I am, in heaven, beside the Father of lights, beside the one with whom we have to do, standing beside the one that is from everlasting to everlasting, beside the one who gave his only begotten son. He said, I will go and come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, you will be able to be there also." He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to get to heaven, you must come by me." So I'm thankful for Jesus. He taught me how to live. He taught me how to die. And you know something? He showed us a good life. If you have your copy of God's book, the Holy Bible, I ask you to turn with me this morning to John chapter 6. Beginning with verse 66 and verse number 67. And ask you to read along or recite after me. Again, John chapter 6, verse 66 and 67. I have been instructed this morning by someone of higher authority to be calm and take it easy. The Apostle John writes to us concerning Jesus. He says, and repeat after me, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, Will ye also go away?" From these scriptures and the lesson text that was read by Brother Marcus this morning, I would like to take the subject, repeat after me. Have you washed your hands of Jesus? Have you washed your hands of Jesus? Normally now, when you think of washing your hands, you think of cleansing them for some reason. The reasons can be the removal of some kind of contaminant or some kind of dirt or matter from your hands. It could be for the preparation, cooking, serving, or eating food. We wash our hands to keep down the passing of germs from person to person. And there may be any other reasons besides being a germophobic that we wash our hands over and over and over again. But in our lesson today, it takes on a whole different flavor or twist. in your lifetime, have you known someone you had dealings or interactions with that for one reason or another, you had to eliminate contact with that person? They may have been a friend, long friend, may have been an associate, a coworker, a relative, may even been a church member that you had to cut loose. You would see that the participants in our lesson today had some type of interaction with the person or persons they had to cut loose, except for one. Brother Rutledge, could you turn that down a little bit? As we explore the lesson, we'll do so from three aspects. Number one, we'll look at people washing their hands of God. Number two, people washing their hands of Jesus. And number three, have you washed your hands of Jesus? The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 7, verse number 4, Romans chapter 14, verse number 7, that no man lives unto himself or dies unto himself. It also tells us about the first century Christians in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 43. Now they followed in the apostles' doctrine, and they didn't waver to the left or to the right. They followed their teachings, their fellowship, and they did so with singleness of purpose and action. The Bible telling us that mankind was meant to build, have, and establish and maintain relationships. When God asked Cain, where was his brother? If Cain had a true relationship with Abel, his answer would not have been, am I my brother's keeper? The instructions that Adam and Eve received in the garden to replenish the earth would not have been possible without a relationship building sequence. The commands, instructions, and directions given by God to the descendants of Abraham through Moses were about relationship building. Our lives today cannot be lived in its fullest without relationship building. There's no husband and wife without a relationship. The man will woo the woman to the point of surrender, and she agrees readily for marriage. Or the woman will dress in her best, bat those lovely eyes, flash that irresistible smile, and say hello in that silky voice until the man melts away in marriage. They're all trying to build relationships in their own way. Now, when God told Abram to leave his home country, go to a place that he didn't know, God was getting ready to build a relationship with Abram. As part of that special relationship, God told Abram, he promised him that his seed or his descendants would be great. God also told them, because of this relationship, that the entire world would be blessed. What a relationship. As we move through the building of this relationship, we see God blessing Abraham by changing his name, giving him flocks and herds, giving him offspring, a son, a grandson, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, great-great-great-grandchildren. Abraham's descendants became known as the Israelites. And they were given commandments, laws, regulations, which set them apart and above all the other nations around them. They were given a land which flowed with milk and honey, having within it everything their heart desired. God did all this, establishing and building a relationship. And he did it not because they were the greatest nation on earth, but for these two reasons. Number one, he loved them. And number two, because of the promise he had made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You can read about this in Deuteronomy chapter 7. Even in today's world, and in our time frame, God still loves us. And he's still trying to build a relationship based on the promises he made to Abraham. After the relationship between God and Israel had become strong, and Israel had begun to prosper and become a mighty nation, they began to ignore God and God's commandments. They ignored his rules and his regulations. They even began to make their own gods with their own hands. And they even made rules for these gods, regulations. They turned on their back on God, the only true and living God, and began to serve and worship false gods that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob never knew. Judges chapter 2, verse 12, and Jeremiah chapter 44, and verse number 3. In other words, they wash their hands of God. It's sad to say, but this is not the first time that people have washed their hands of God. When we look at Exodus, the chapter's number 32, when the chapter opens up, Moses is in Mount Sinai. The people of Israel, Abraham's descendants, are camped around the mountain, waiting on Moses to come down. But after waiting so long, they decided he's not coming back. Aaron, make us gods that we can worship and serve and say they are the gods that brought us up out of Egypt. When all this was going down, God told Moses, Moses, get down out of this mountain, get into the camp. The people have corrupted themselves so early, so fast after me giving them my laws and my rules and regulations. They made a molten calf. Now they're worshiping it, Moses, and they're saying, this is the God that brought us up out of Egypt. What was God telling Moses? The people had washed their hands of God. There are many more times when people have washed their hands of God. And just to consider the leadership, because you know, people follow their leaders. Some of the leaders in the Judah nation after Israel had split, kings that washed their hands of God were people like Joash, Ahaz, and Ammon. And then from the 10 tribes of Israel, kings that have washed their hands of God, Pekah, Hoshea, and Oahab. And you can read about them turning their backs on God in 1 Kings and 2 Chronicles. So many people through the ages have washed their hands of the goodness and richness of God. Yet the Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, God is long-suffering. He's patient. He doesn't want anyone to perish. As a matter of fact, God didn't even make hell for mankind. And because of this, God is allowing us to change our minds. And although many people have washed their hands of God in this day and age, he still is not through with us yet. He said, I will give them one more chance. And this is going to be your last chance. And that chance is Jesus. Now, have you ever heard anyone say, I'm going to give you one more chance, but this is your last chance? You remember when you were in school and taking tests, and you didn't do well on the test? You thought you should have made a 95, you ended up making a 65. You said, teacher, give me one more chance. Let me retake this test. She said, I'll give you one more chance. Some of them would. But now you got to think about this. She said, I'll give you one more chance. But now you can't take forever either trying to get it right. God is saying the same thing to us today. The only difference is he's now saying it through Jesus Christ, his son. In Acts chapter 10 and verse number 38, it informs us that God anointed Jesus by the Holy Spirit and with power. And with this anointment, Jesus went about the world doing good, healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, because God was with him. In Jesus' lifetime on this earth, his healing ministry did things like make leopards leap for loving laughter, make twisted legs twinkle on their toes, make bowed backs bristle and bounce, make closed eyes eager to enjoy the environment, make the weak willing to withstand whatever, make the dumb deep, dynamic deliberators, make the hungry hail with hearty hallelujahs, and make demon possessed positive, profound, and proficient. But not only did Jesus have a healing ministry, he had a teaching ministry as well. He taught the masses the right attitude they should have. He taught how they should treat one another, how to judge each other. He taught the importance of putting first things first, that nothing should be before God, and we should serve God and not material things. Jesus even taught the true meaning of the Sabbath day. He taught the value of counting the cost, being humble, and the kingdom of heaven. Jesus taught us how we should pray, what we should pray for, the attitude in which we should have when we pray, and not to give up praying. Jesus taught us when it comes to serving God, we ought to do so in a private manner and not such a public manner, because God will reward us because of our attitude and the way we think. Jesus taught with clarity. He taught with simplicity. He taught with thoroughness. And he taught with profoundness. So much so that the people were literally amazed and blessed by his teaching. They were so amazed by the authority and the conviction in which he taught. But now, not only did Jesus have a healing ministry and a teaching ministry, he also had a business ministry. And all of us need to get some business. And not talking about somebody else's business. Remember, Jesus told his earthly parents, he said, I must be about my Father's business. Luke 2:49. He even told his disciples in John, the 4th chapter and the 34th verse, my nourishment comes from doing the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. We need to get a business ministry. And this business ministry, God sent Jesus to heal, to teach or preach, and to purchase the church. Matthew 16, 18 and 19. His healing ministry flourished, and the crowds flocked just to touch him, see him, and be healed by him. His teaching ministry was so powerful that multitudes would sit for hours to hear him talk. But yet today, we can hardly get people to sit for 45 minutes. Now that's not on my paper, but it sure came out of my mouth. There's no place that he could go in his ministries without drawing a crowd. But his business ministry kept getting in the way of his healing ministry and his teaching ministry. The Jewish leaders, they didn't like the fame that Jesus was getting. It was dulling their own fame. And you know, they sought to do something about it. But no matter what the test, Jesus always made the leaders look like losers. Therefore, they decided, we're going to put an end to this. We threw with all this testing, all this trying to entrap him. We are going to get rid of Jesus. You see, they had washed their hands of Jesus. John chapter 11, verses 49 to 51. But however, here again, this is not the first incident when people have washed the hands of Jesus. I don't know about you, but me, if someone keeps turning their back or turning their ear saying, I don't want to have anything to do with you, I believe I'd leave them alone and leave them, period. But I'm so glad God not like me. Because if he was like me, I would be in the position that I'm just talking about somebody else. Because God would have left me alone. But because of his long suffering, his patience, and his kindness, he's saying to Brother Wise, he said, I'm waiting on you. We find in John chapter 6, where I just read, that after feeding of the 5,000, Jesus left and went to Capernaum. The people found out that Jesus wasn't there, so they jumped in all kinds of boats, big ones, little ones, middle ones, and they rushed across the Galilee Sea to get to Capernaum. And they said, Jesus, we didn't know you were coming over here. Jesus said, y'all didn't come find me because of what you saw, what you witnessed yesterday, that I took 2 sardines and 5 crackers, saltine crackers, and fed 5,000 people with that and took up 12 baskets. You all didn't come because of that. You all came because that was some good eating. He said, you came for the wrong reason. And then Jesus went on to get into his business ministry. He left the feeding and the teaching ministry with a feeding ministry alone. He said, let me get into my business now. He said, Moses fed your father with manna that came from heaven. They didn't know what it was, where it came from, but they ate it. And you know what? They ate that manna that came from heaven, but they eventually died. All of them died. He said, but now I am bread that has come down from heaven, that if a man eat this bread and this flesh that I will give for the whole world and drink my blood, you'll live forever. Can you imagine the people? We're talking about imagination and faith in the Sunday school lesson this morning. You got to use your imagination and just think. People probably looking at each other and said, and they started whispering and murmuring and saying, what kind of crazy talk is this? This guy talking about his flesh, we need to eat it like our fathers ate the bread from heaven, the manna. And if we eat this and drink his blood, we're going to live forever. That's foolish talk. This can't come from God. And you know what they did? You go on about your bed. We thought you were somebody, but you're a nut. As Barney Fife would say, he's a nut. And so what they do, they wash their hands of Jesus. And they follow him no more. They say, I'm through with this man. Finally, in our lesson text, which was in Matthew chapter 27, we see Jesus as he appears the last time, the very last time before Pilate. And this is the instance where I told at the beginning, Pilate and Jesus didn't have a relationship. I don't read anywhere where Pilate went to one of Christ's classes in the synagogue, or was out in the wilderness listening to him preach. Or he was a product of any type of healing. But yet here he stands or sits in judgment of Christ. Now, as Pilate sits there, ready to judge Jesus, he tries to convince the crowd to release him. Number one, he had already sent him to Herod. Herod couldn't find anything. This is after the first time he had judged him, he couldn't find anything. And now he's back, and he still doesn't have anything. His wife has even called him and said, don't have anything to do with that man. He hasn't done anything. And he said, you know, I had some nightmares because of this. Well, she had some daymares. She said, because I have had some dreams this day, and I have been suffering. So I don't have anything to do with this man. So Pilate tried to convince the crowd, take Barabbas. No, don't take Barabbas, take Jesus. They said, no. But see, the chief priests and the elders had already gotten together and told the people, convinced them, ask for Barabbas. You see, Barabbas was a rabble rouser. You know, he was there trying to overthrow the Roman government. And see, when you're being oppressed by people, it's easy to convince somebody that this person is good for you, because see, they've been fighting for you all the time. But Pilate kept at it, kept trying to convince the crowd, let me release Jesus. What has he done? You have brought me no evidence of anything wrong that he's done. The crowd became rowdy. The Bible says tumultuous. But they started getting riotous. And you know, we've seen how rioting can happen in Ferguson. So Pilate, to try to hide his hand, said, okay, if you want Barabbas, I'll give it to you. What should I do with Jesus? And they cried out, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate, I can just imagine him shaking his head, said, he's done no wrong. So I tell you what, he gets a bowl of water, goes over like he's washing his hands and say, I'm innocent of this man's blood. And this was prophesied in the book of Isaiah chapter 53. It says, he was despised and rejected of men. Everybody in the crowd was saying, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate, the authority in the field, can say, I will not. Rejected Christ as well. The whole world had done what Pilate did. Washed their hands of Jesus. Have you washed your hands of Jesus? Now, here are some ways that you can wash your hands of Jesus. Number one, family. He said, family? What are you talking about, family? Matthew 10, verse number 37. Jesus says, unless you hate father and mother, guess what? You can't be my disciple. He's saying, family can cause you to wash your hands of Jesus. Ever heard somebody say, well, nobody better than my daddy. Nothing gonna stand in the way of my mama. Yeah. We can let family come between us and Jesus. Remember the man said, I have just taken a wife. Let me go and have my honeymoon. I'll check you out later. Yeah. Family. Well, my father's near death. Once he die and I bury him, I'll come back and hang out with you, Jesus. Well, we never see anywhere in the Bible where those people came back to be with Jesus. Jobs. Yeah. Our jobs can cause us to wash our hands of Jesus. Remember in Luke chapter 14 and verse number 19. And another said, I have 5 yoke of oxen. I will go to prove them. This is what he's saying. He said, Jesus, I bought some oxen. And now I'm going to go out there in the field with them and test them out. I'm going to do some plowing with them to make sure they can handle the job. He's now, excuse me while I go do this. He didn't even make the excuse, say, I'll be back. He said, I'm gone. Our jobs can cause us to wash our hands of Jesus. Why? Because we feel like we need to make that 8. Yes, sir. Or make that 12. Or make that double. Careers. Another one. Careers. You say, what was the difference between a job and a career? Well, a person can have a job. But now when people are trying to establish careers, they will go to the ends of the earth to do whatever they need to do. They will go to school after school after school and take class after class after class. Why? Because they're trying to move up the ladder and move up the ladder, move up the ladder. Why? Because their careers they want to reach is way up here. Nothing's wrong with trying to go the next level. But when your career gets in between you and God, you and Jesus, you're washing your hands of Jesus. Now, there's nothing wrong with going to school. Nothing's wrong with trying to get better. I guess I for one, I have taken so many different classes, trying to learn so many different things, I probably can't even remember all the stuff I learned. Yeah. Sometimes you can learn so much, you can get stupid. Yeah, you become an educated fool. I mean, because half the stuff I went to school and learned, I never used. Things. Things can make you wash your hands of Jesus. Luke chapter 12 and verse number 15. The Bible tells us to take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things that he has. So what if you have 2 houses in Birmingham, a cabin on the lake, a summer house in Florida, you got your regular fishing boat, you got your... riding around boat, and you got your yacht. You got 3 different types of cars and 2 trucks. All this stuff, and you think, why did that song go, I am somebody. Things don't make you someone. You can chase so many things for so long, you forget Jesus. And you wash your hands of him. Lastly, yourself. Self can get in the way. Cause you to wash your hands of Jesus. Matthew 16, chapter verse number 24. The Bible says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. You know, What would it profit a man if he's just looking out for himself and he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Yes, you have made yourself proud of yourself, by yourself, with yourself, for yourself. And in the end, you'll be just like the rich man. And God said, okay, time's up. Has Jesus gotten in your way? Or has gotten in the way of your life? And it's caused you to wash your hands of Jesus? Let me make this one thing perfectly clear. God has given you one more chance to make it right. You're here today. This is a chance to get it right. Now, I can't say this is your last chance, because only God knows. But I do know this. You have this chance. This is a chance that God has given you. So why take a chance on this chance? Why gamble with your soul? You know, it's like playing dice, shooting craps, as they call it. You just rolling, and by chance, you roll snake eyes. You know what? You lose it all. It's like trying to beat the train through the intersection. This might be the last thing you try. It's like you're frying chicken in the kitchen and watching the have and have nots in the bedroom. This might be the last chicken you fry. Now, I don't know nothing about the have and have nots. I saw my wife looking at it. I thought that was a good one to use. You may think something like, I have a headache. Something simple. I'm going to lay down and take a nap if I take these aspirin. Maybe the last nap you take. You're young. You say, I got a long time to serve God. But then you think, well, I guess I'll make up my mind. This coming Sunday, I'm going to do it. So tonight, this Friday night, I'm going to hit the clubs. And this is going to be my last time clubbing. But while you're at the club, you meet a bullet with someone else's name on it. We don't know when eternity is going to show up at our door. So while the blood is running warm in your veins, as the temptation will say, I ain't too proud to beg, I'm begging you, like Caiaphas, who felt Jesus was cramping his style and had to get him out of his life. He washed his hands of Jesus. Don't be like the foolish rich man whose crops exploded with produce. And he sang that rare song, I just want to celebrate. So he made his retirement plans and his plans to party. He had washed his hands of Jesus. Think about the rich young ruler who said, I'm ready to follow you, Jesus. But he sang that old Jay song, money, 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 money. And because of all his wealth, he turned and walked away. He had washed his hands of Jesus. And there's Judas. Yes, old Judas. I don't know whether it was greed or was the fact that Jesus was capturing the spotlight that got to him. But he sang that old Jay song, backstabbers, and he sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He washed his hands of Jesus. And then there was old Pilate, acting like he was trying to please the crowd when he was just trying to appease himself. He was singing that James Brown song, Please, 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 please let Jesus go. But all the while, he's just playing the crowd, taking a bowl of water, announcing to the people, I'm innocent to this man, it's on y'all. He was washing his hands of Jesus. If you're here today and you haven't obeyed the gospel of Jesus, you're now saying literally, I've washed my hands of you, Jesus. But Jesus hadn't given up. You have this chance today. And he says to you, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any of you would just open the door and let me in, I come in and I'll dine with you. And not only will I come in, my Father come in with you as well. What is this gospel, you say? This gospel is the true death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You got to hear that. You got to believe it. You must repent or change this thing up here, your mind. Repent of all your known sins. Confess Jesus. Be baptized, immersed in water, and rise to walk in newness of life. Be like Patti LaBelle and saying, I got a new attitude. And if you say, well, I've done all these six things, but some of the things that today, Brother Wyatt, have touched me, and I feel like I have fallen short. I feel like I may have been washing my hands. I hadn't gotten through, but my hand is in the sink, and I'm washing my hands now, and I need to dry them off and get back in line. What do I do? God is faithful and just to forgive us if we repent and confess and pray about it. God's not like Sam Wyatt. You might slap me, beat me up, kick me up, treat me bad. And I said, well, I'll never go back to that place again. I never have anything else to do with Brother West. He's just a low-down old rascal. God's not like that. He looked at Sam Wyatt and said, yeah, that's a low-down old rascal. But I'm going to give him one more chance to make it right. Why? Because I love him and I don't want him to go to hell. Same thing God is telling each one of us today. I love you. I want you in my presence throughout all eternity. If you're here today and you want to be a child of God, the Imitation Song, 559. Why don't you walk down these aisles or stay where you are and I'll come to you. Give God your heart. Give me your hand and make that grand confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Or, brothers and sisters, I feel like I have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I want you to pray for me that I don't fall into that same trap again. 559. Have you been to Jesus so he can wash you from washing him so you won't become washed up? Have you been to Jesus for that cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? In the